Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg LaSere, and the message today is titled, The Freedom of a Clear Conscience.
God's grace and His peace be with you today, through Jesus Christ, the Savior. Amen. Today, I'd like to talk with you about your conscience, about having a clear conscience, a free conscience, light and joyful. Is your conscience clear today? Is it free? Is it light? Is it joyful? Should it always be perfectly clear? And if it is not clear and you have an evil conscience or a guilty conscience, how do you get back to a clear, light, free, and joyful conscience? Let's see what God teaches us about that today, especially on this Reformation Sunday, about that in His holy word, the scriptures. How can you have a clear and joyful conscience today? Well, first of all, let's look at what a central theme that is for our lives as Christians in scriptures. Is it important to the apostles? How important? Maybe you haven't noticed this, but let's look at the New Testament. Just a few examples here. Paul says, for example, in Acts 24, verse 16, he says, I always take pains to have a clear conscience towards God and towards men. If you look over at 2 Timothy 1, I thank God whom I serve with a clear conscience as did my fathers, he says. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 12, our boast is this, the testimony of our conscience that we've behaved in the world and still more towards you with holiness and godly sincerity. Hebrews 13, that author says, pray for us, for we are sure that we have a clear conscience, desiring to act honorably in all things. Peter says in 1 Peter 3:16, keep your conscience clear, so that when you are abused, those who revile your good behavior in Jesus Christ may be put to shame. And one more, let's open up the Bible again to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul says, this is the aim of our charge as Christians. What is our aim? The aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and sincere faith. So how important would you say a good, clear, free, joyful conscience is to the apostles? Answer, supreme importance. This is tops, number one. That's what God wants for you. That's what they want for you. That's what I want for you. A clear, joyful, free, light conscience. So let's consider next, what's a conscience? What is your conscience? Well, our conscience, if you will, since I'm a sailor, and I always give you this illustration, and you can say it before I even say you the words, it is like a compass on a ship or a radar internally to tell us the right way to go. You've heard this story before. I'll share it again. Please don't mouth the words ahead of me. It throws off my timing. But I was, captaining a schooner in Maine, and often along the coast you have dense, thick fog. One day it was thick as pea soup. I had guests with me. Went out on the bay, West Penobscot Bay. We're coming in thick, dense fog into Camden Harbor. Now the channel there is very narrow. On the right you have rock ledges. You know that, Lynn? On the left you have Curtis Island, also a rocky pine forested island. Very narrow channel on the way in. As I'm going in, my gut, my eyes, my ears, my senses all say, turn left, turn left, turn left. But I have a compass, and I'm looking at the radar. It's saying, turn right, turn right, turn right. Which one do I go with? I went with the compass and the radar, and it led me from buoy to buoy, from mark to mark, from boat to boat, straight into the inner harbor, safe and sound. That's what a conscience is to do for us, to point us in the right way to go, that we avoid the shipwreck of our lives and of our souls. So we all have that inner voice. Think about how this worked in David's life. First Samuel 24. Remember, Saul was hunting him. King Saul was after David. And he heard that David was in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men in the front of the Wild Goats Rocks. And he came to the sheepfolds by the way where there was a cave. And Saul went in to relieve himself. That's a nice King James way of saying to you know what against the wall. I think that's what King James actually says. To relieve himself. To go to the John. Sorry, John. But to go to the John. Now David and his men were sitting in the innermost parts of the cave. And the men of David said to him, "Here is the day of which the Lord said to you, 'Behold, I will give your enemy into your hand, and you shall do to him as it shall seem good to you.' Then David arose and stealthily cut off the skirt of Saul's robe, and afterward David's heart smote him." What is that, Cheryl? His conscience. And he said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing, to put forth my hand against him, seeing he is the Lord's anointed." So David persuaded his men with these words and did not permit them to attack Saul. And Saul rose up and left the cave and went upon his way. So notice, David was going in one direction with his gut, his thoughts, his feelings. Hey, I've got my enemy in my hands. I'll kill him. But his heart, when he cut off the skirt of Saul's robe, his heart smote him. That's a conscience inside saying, "David, don't go that way. You're going in the wrong way." The inner radar, the compass is saying, "Turn this way instead. Go safe. Avoid shipwreck." And he did, because if he'd actually killed Saul like his men wanted, he would never have become king. And God would have been, his hand would have been against him. And so our conscience, notice, often goes against what we feel like doing, what our minds might think, or our evil, sinful part of ourselves wants to go in one direction. The conscience says, "Nope, nope, go this way. Go straight in this direction." And so notice, a conscience's job is not to act. Okay, that's your job. Your conscience is your inner judge, which either commends you for doing right and says, "Good job, going that way." And you feel good and strong, a pat on the back. Yes, that's good. Or it condemns you and says, "Guilty, guilty, don't go that way. That's danger." So it is there to be an inner judge, to commend or to condemn you based on which way you think you're going for your actions. It's meant that you avoid shipwreck and steer straight ahead in safety. That's the job of your conscience. So, how many of you have a conscience? Who has a conscience? Do animals have consciences? You know, when my dog Gracie's left alone in the house and the little door to the linen closet where the trash is, or not linen, but that trash area, does she have any pang of conscience to go and pull out whatever she can and eat it and strew it all about our floor? No, animals don't have consciences. We can teach them right and wrong to a certain degree, but she's not like, "I feel so guilty that I ate that hamburger." No, she's like, "Yeah." But human beings are gifted by God with a conscience. And you all raised your hands. You all have a conscience. Because the scripture says, when Gentiles, even, who don't have the law, do by nature what the law requires, they show that what the law requires is written upon their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness, and their conflicting thoughts accuse or perhaps excuse them, commend them or condemn them. So everybody's got a conscience, and who gave it to you? God. He put it on the hearts of all human beings to be an inner judge, to point you in the right way to go. But does that mean that all consciences can be relied on or are accurate, reliable guides to truth? Answer, no, not exactly. The conscience, deep down, it may be right, but there are various degrees of sensitivity to your conscience. For some people, they've buried it deep down. And when you live in evil and you have a sinful nature, you tend to want to hang up on the phone call, if you will. And it can get worse and worse. There are different degrees of hearing the conscience. And it can get worse. For example, there's a Picture a nice young girl, a virgin. She goes to college, goes to a fraternity party just to fit in. She gets there a little drunk, and then a lot of drunk, and winds up sleeping with a stranger. Wakes up next day to her horror next to a sleazeball. "Well, what have I done?" she says, and she feels the icy cold touch of the inner judge. Guilty, guilty. What'd she do? Tells her friends. Her friends then say, "Ah, don't worry about it, we all do that. No big deal, let's go have another drink." Next weekend she goes out, does it again, happens again, wakes up, she still feels bad about it, but not as bad as the first time. And then she does it again and again the next weekend. Pretty soon she feels no shame, because she feels she's just given herself over to it, and after a while she might even enjoy it. You know, consciences are true radars, but they can be buried under the evil of our sin nature, and so deep down we don't feel it. They're not properly calibrated according to God's word, and they are not reliable, though they may be true. Deep down, people don't listen to their conscience. They've, in a sense, killed it. Though you can never truly kill the conscience. It's a mighty judge. It's down there, and it's still saying when you go wrong, guilty, 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 when you go in the evil way, and you can't shut it up. It's ever with you. You can't escape. And so let me ask you a question. How terrible is it when you have an evil or a guilty conscience? How does that make your life? Horrific, terrible, a catastrophe, evil, dark. Martin Luther said of a bad conscience is hell. When the oppressor of the law bears down on a man, when it severely drubs and drives with club and cudgel, then no soundness remains in the flesh and in the bones. The soul or conscience is tortured as if it were in hell. Isn't that true? You can go about your normal day that you would normally enjoy, but if you have a guilty conscience over something, people are laughing over here, but they seem so distant and far away, as in another world. And everything that you used to enjoy is now this heavy cloud and darkness over it. You feel listless and despondent and despairing and in dread. There's some icy fingers touching you. Nothing is happy. Gone is your health, energy, and vitality. Fear, dread, despondency, and a dark evil cloud has settled in. Think of this. By an evil conscience, or a guilty one, that is, Judas was driven by that to run into a field and hang himself. Peter, by a guilty conscience, was driven to run away when he said, "I have denied the Lord." David said, when he denied his conscience, "When I declared not my sin," he says, "my body wasted away through my groaning all day long, for thy hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer." So a bad conscience, an evil conscience, a guilty conscience is terrible. Your whole life is a disaster at that point, and it condemns you as guilty. Yes, who can set you free? You can see why this is a great Reformation sermon, right? Who are we going to look to next? Starts with an M. His last name starts with an L. Ah, you're so good. Martin Luther. What was his great problem, those of you who know his life? The pang of an evil conscience, a guilty conscience. He was in great fear, great dread before the Lord. He trembled day and night before God. He sweat bullets. And why? Well, because the Roman Catholic teaching of his day was God is just. It's true. God is righteous. He's holy. He's perfect. He's angry against sin and against sinners. He condemns all who break his laws. He commands then all to keep his laws. That's all true. But now, how did the church in those days teach you to get out of that guilty state, that pang of evil and evil conscience? Well, climb your way out. Do the works of the law. Keep it. be perfect, fulfill the law, be righteous, and your guilt will go away. That way you get free, and your conscience will be clear. Martin Luther, though, what was his problem? He said, but I can't keep the law. It is so high and so deep. Even if I keep it outwardly, my inner heart knows that I'm failing to keep it perfectly, and therefore I am condemned. I am not right before God. I'm in total fear, continual dread and pang of an evil conscience, and it vexed him sorely. He felt terrible, in other words. So what do you do if you have a guilty conscience like that, and you're feeling wrong, guilty, condemned, says the inner judge? Well, the world will offer you several different ways to do it. Number one, shift the blame. Put it on somebody else. This is what Adam and Eve did. Remember, as soon as they committed their evil act of taking the forbidden fruit, God says, where are you, Adam? What have you done? Well, that woman you gave me, her fault. By the way, it's her fault, and it's really your fault because you gave her to me. Shifting the blame, you know, that's one way to deal with it. Try to get it off. That's what the woman said. It's the serpent's fault as well. Secondly, the world would say, just deny it, reject it, bury it deep down. Tell yourself and convince yourself there are no absolute morals. Yeah, therefore there is no possible thing to do wrong. You're good. There is no judge. Stuff it. Snuff it out. But that doesn't work either. Naomi once shared with me the video of a Christian evangelist speaking with a liberal college professor. The evangelist said, are there absolute morals? Is there absolute truth? And the liberal professor said, no, there's no absolute morals, absolute right and wrong. Everything's free. You can do whatever you want. There's no guilt. The evangelist then asks, well, then tell me, what would you say would be a situation where it would be right to rape an underage girl? Said the college professor. And eventually said, there is none. That's always wrong. Yeah, you're right. There are absolute morals. You know, people can try to deny their consciences and say everything's free and we can do whatever we want, that there's no judge, but they know deep down that judge continues to say guilty and that they're in trouble. The third way is to do this. Work harder. Climb your way out of it. Be better. Become perfect, and then your guilty conscience will go away. That was what Luther was hearing from the church in his days. Did that work for him? He became a monk. That was a good try. Didn't help. Then he prayed continually. He memorized the Psalms, I think all of them. He went to communion. He did acts of charity and mercy. He confessed his sins every day so many times to his confessor in the Roman Catholic Church. The confessor was like, Luther, go away. You're confessing things that aren't even sins. They're so trivial. Go commit some real sin and come back when you have something real to confess. But he's like, but I have a pang of an evil conscience. I'm not right with God. I can't keep it. It's too high. It's too deep. God's law is too perfect. I fall short. And so he felt continually the dread of a guilty, evil conscience, such that Luther eventually even had to secretly admit to himself, I secretly hated this just God who gave me a law, told me to be justified by it, but it's a law I could not keep. And he felt angry and lost. So what's the one remedy for an evil conscience? If you got an evil conscience today and you want a clear, free, joyful one, how do you get it? Well, remember the Roman Catholic Church had said in those days, you know, climb higher to heaven. They've lost the gospel. So they sent Luther away to study the Bible, which was not much done in those days, to teach it at the university. And as he studied and read the scriptures, he came especially to this verse, Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, says Paul. It's the power of God for salvation to everyone who has faith, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed through faith for faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Or as it can be translated, he who through faith is righteous shall live. Now, Luther was like, but what does that mean? Up until now in the church, it's just taught me the righteousness that justifies me is my own righteousness. How high I can climb and eventually become perfect. But he came to see, as he studied this scripture, that's not what the scriptures are teaching. The scriptures are teaching not that I climb my way out of this evil conscience, but that God has come down to me, fulfilled that law perfectly for me, taken my sins away at the cross, and he gifts that to me freely when I believe on him. And when I believe on him, I'm justified freely by his grace and have a forgiven spirit, and my conscience therefore is free. Luther said when he came to realize that it was not what he did to God, but what God had done for him, he said, I felt as if I had walked through open gates into paradise. And his conscience at last was free, light, and clear through the blood and the forgiveness and the salvation of Christ freely given. I want to ask you a question. Do you have a free and clear and light conscience today? Do you have it right now, this morning? Can you have it for the rest of your life? If you have that, you are on cloud nine. You are joyful and your life is good no matter what. This opens up all of Scripture to you. And listen to this. Since all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3, they are justified by his grace as a free gift through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as an expiation by his blood to be received by faith. You've sinned. Everybody's condemned. The internal judge of your conscience, as well as the eternal judge above, has condemned you as guilty. You can't be justified by keeping God's law. No human being will be justified that way. But God says, here's, look at my righteousness. I've given you my son, Jesus Christ. Your sins upon him, he's taken them away. My righteousness, I gift to you freely. Receive it by faith, and you're free. That's what it's saying here. Then you go to Romans chapter 4, and it says, now to one who works, his wages are not reckoned as a gift, but as his due. In other words, if you're going to get to heaven by your own works, then you're getting wages or salary. But Paul says that's not the way it works. He says, and to one who does not work, but trusts him who justifies the ungodly, that person's faith is reckoned as righteousness. You, being an ungodly sinner, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, God will then take Christ's righteousness and reckon it to you, account it to you, credit it to you, justify you freely by what he's done, and count you as righteous for Christ's sake, imputed to you. Romans 5, if because of one man's trespass, Adam's, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. What kind of righteousness was that, Dale? A free gift of righteousness. If it's a free gift, guess what? It isn't your own. You don't give gifts to yourself. God gave it to you. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 7, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Romans 8, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And Romans 5, therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Is your conscience clear today? In the gospel of Jesus Christ, it can be and is. Because, watch this, your guilty conscience comes from sin. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. If your sin is gone, then the condemnation is gone. If the condemnation is gone, then your guilt is gone. If your guilt is gone, your sorrow is gone. If your sorrow is gone, now what's left but freedom, light, joy, and peace? This is what God gives you in the one true gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the fruit of the gospel, a joyful heart. Have it today. Does that mean then that you're always going to have a clear conscience the rest of your life perfectly at all times? No, because you're still on a ship. You're sailing through the world, making decisions. Your conscience will be there to say, no. not that way. Go in this direction. So that's good to feel those things. What happens if you do go, if you do sin and go in the wrong way? How do you get back to a clear conscience? If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful. He's just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Run back to God, he sets you free again. Clear, light, free. That's what God wants for you. So don't also overjudge yourself. If God has set you free, who is there to condemn you? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Some of us are hypercritical of ourselves. Never let ourselves off the hook. Even if God's forgiven, you're like, yeah, but that wasn't good enough, and I condemn myself, or I remember my former sins. Guess what? God says, don't do that. I'm the one who sets you free. I'm the one who has taken your sins away. I give you a free conscience. Don't mess it all up with judging yourselves where I have set you free. Don't exalt yourself over God. Don't be an idol. My judge, my judgment, my supreme court is the highest in heaven and earth. And when I have justified you, when the Son makes you free, you are free indeed. Be joyful. Be light. Be free in me. So, in conclusion then today, God does want you today to be free and light and clear and joyful. And the only place you'll ever find that now and in all the world is in Jesus Christ alone. Only he takes away our guilt. He alone bore our sins. And he alone in his true gospel gifts you forgiveness of sins, righteousness, and eternal life by grace alone, through faith alone in him. And so, let's say with Luther today, with all joy now, God, I walk with you. I walk by Christ, by his blood, his cross, his salvation. Oh God, through open gates into paradise. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called The Freedom of a Clear Conscience, a broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier, and if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday, and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesdays. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages, be sure to visit our website at ChristLutheranChurchCapeCanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great Captain of our soul, and God bless you.